Saturday, March 22nd. First reading from Micah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15 and 18 through 20. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, that dwells apart in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, as in the days when you came from the land of Egypt, show us wonderful signs. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt? You will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Haydah Commentary. God will feed his people in the most fertile places, designated by Carmel and Bashan. Likewise, a pastor must maintain sound doctrine and discipline to feed the flock. God will have compassion on them for past offenses, yet if they transgress again, they must not expect impunity. The Jews still bleed for the murder of the Messiah. God performs what he had promised out of mercy to Abraham. The Gospel from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" Haydah Commentary. By the elder son is commonly understood the Jewish people, who for a long time had been chosen to serve God, and by the younger son, the Gentiles, who for so many ages had run blindly on in their idolatry and vices. Some understand this of the just and sinners. The former opinion seems preferable. The elder son brought up in his father's house represents the Jews. The younger prodigal is a figure of the Gentiles. It is very probable that the children of the family, when come to age, could demand of their parents the share of property which would fall to their lot. For these parables suppose the ordinary practices of the country and are founded on what was customarily done. The Gentiles, prefigured by the prodigal son, received from their father, that is God, free will, reason, mind, health, natural knowledge, and the goods which are common to mankind, all which they dissipated and abused. Sinners who have, besides, received the gift of faith and sanctification by baptism, and who have profaned the holiness of their state by crimes, are more express figures of the bad conduct of this son. How merciful is the Almighty, who, though so much offended, still does not disdain the name of Father. These words, "I have sinned," are the first words of a sinner's confession to the author of nature. God knows all things. Still, he expects to hear the voice of your confession. It is in vain to think of concealing your sins from the eyes of him whom nothing can escape, and there can be no danger of acknowledging to him what his infinite knowledge has already embraced. Confess, then, that Christ may intercede for you, the church pray for you, the people pour forth their tears for you. Fear not that you will not obtain pardon, for pardon is promised to you. Grace and a reconciliation with a most tender parent are held out to you. So says St. Ambrose. When the Father clothes the Son in the best robe, it is to be understood as the habit of grace. By saying he was dead and has come to life again, we are to understand that a sinner in mortal sin is deprived of the divine grace, which is the spiritual life of the soul. At his conversion, it is restored to him, and he begins to live again. The older son, who represents the Jews, boasts of having always served his father faithfully and of never disobeying him. This is the language of that presumptuous people who believe themselves alone holy, and despising the Gentiles with sovereign contempt, could not bear to see the gates of salvation laid open also to them. With what face could the Jews, represented here by the eldest son, say that they have never transgressed the commandments of their father? This made Tertullian think that this was not the expression of the Jews, but of the faithful Christians, and therefore he interprets the whole parable as applied to a disciple of Christ. But we should recollect that it is not uncommon for presumption to boast of what it never has done. The whole history of the Jews is full of numberless details of their prevarication and disobedience. The Jews, in the person of the elder brother, demanded a goat, but the Christians a lamb. Therefore was Barabbas set at liberty for them, whilst for us the lamb was immolated.